Good to be with you tonight, and some of you have not been here at all. This is the first time, and others haven't been here for some time. So I want to go back and just touch on a few things to put into context what we're going to talk about tonight. We've been dealing with enduring the contradiction of sinners. Of course, Hebrews says against himself, speaking of Jesus. But the Lord wants to bring us to the place where we encounter the contradiction of sinners against ourselves, and the contradiction is this. You don't qualify for that until you stop sinning. He who did no sin was treated as the sinner. That's the contradiction of sinners. When you are faithful to somebody who is unfaithful to you, that is the contradiction of sinners against yourself. When you do that which is right, and they tell you that it is wrong, and they scoff at you or revile you or the like, you are enduring the contradiction of sinners against yourself. Now, all of us are going to have demands placed upon our person, and we will meet those demands with whatever is or is not in us. If we have not been strengthened with might in the inner man by the Holy Spirit, then we will meet the demands of our circumstances, the demands of our relationships, and the demands of the holiness of God with what we lack. And the only way to correctly meet these demands is for the Lord to fill us with His Holy Spirit. And we're going to see that the demands of the holiness of God can only be placed upon certain people. Most people do not have that yieldedness in them to receive the restrictions of the holiness of God. And that's what Paul means whenever he writes in Romans, he says, and when you were free from righteousness. See, when you were a sinner, when you were in rebellion to God, when you were seeking your own way, you would not at all yield to the righteousness of God. You did not even know what the righteousness of God was to yield to it. So that is the context, and we're going to be talking about the chastening of the Lord tonight. And just by way of question, when you hear the word chasten, what do you normally think of?
Being chastised by your parents.
Well, chastisement and chastening basically the same word, but what do you normally... If a father chastens his child, what does he normally do?
Scolding him.
He's what?
Scolding.
Scolding him, okay. Punishing him?
Yeah, anyway.
Okay, all right. Well, that is totally wrong in as far as the Bible is concerned and as far as the chastening of the Lord is concerned. And we'll look into that tonight because when I was growing up, and even after I became a Christian, my concept of the chastening of the Lord is if I did something wrong, He was going to give it to me. And that is totally incorrect, and we'll see that tonight, hopefully, by the time we're finished. But let's turn to Galatians as a starting point. Galatians chapter 1. And we'll begin reading with verse 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is verse 13 now. For you have heard of my conversation, and the word conversation in the New Testament oftentimes means behavior. You have heard of my behavior in time past, in the Jews' religion, this is very important, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, to the point that he, at the very least, consented to people being killed, and perhaps in some cases actually was involved in that directly. When it says in Acts, he was yet breathing out slaughterings against the church. That word is murder there. So Paul, despite all of the witness of the church to him, pressed past that, and these were the pricks that the Lord said, it is hard for you to kick against the pricks of the love of God that has been shown to you by my body, the church, at that particular time. Verse 14, and profited in the Jews' religion above my many equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. Now this next verse, you might think that Paul is trying to be poetic here and trying to be eloquent in what he is saying, but that is not the case. He says, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Now the reason that Paul did not confer with flesh and blood was because the whole time that he was growing up, he had great confidence in flesh and blood. And when the Lord opened his eyes by revelation, it destroyed in Paul any confidence in the flesh. Remember, he says we have no confidence in the flesh. So Paul was formed in a Jewish womb, and he was birthed into the Jewish religious setup. Now, you might have been born in an atheistic womb, or formed in an atheistic womb, or a Protestant womb, or a Muslim womb, or like Siva, my friend, who couldn't be here tonight, he was formed in a Hindu womb. I was formed in a Catholic womb. So that when I was born, I was birthed into a system of faith or belief or religion. Much better, I was birthed into a system of religion. And from the time I started to grow up, whatever I was told in relationship to that religion, I believed it. I accepted it, no matter what they said. And as I grew up, that thing became very embedded in me. My heart became fond of it. And if you came against what I believed, it aroused an antagonism in me towards you. And it also, deep down inside, produced a fear in me that I would never be able to get in touch with because it wasn't of the truth. So that if I do not have the truth in me, if someone comes and contradicts what I believe, it will shake me even if I don't want to recognize it. But when by revelation, and this is the only way that you are going to get the knowledge of God, is by revelation. When the Spirit of God reveals something to you, you know that you know that you know, because it has been given to you by God. So when Paul's conversion took place, the Lord separated him from this religious system in his heart. The day on which I got saved, I had quit going to the Catholic Church for probably a year or two. I don't remember exactly how long it was. But that did not mean that what they had put into me had been taken out. In fact, to this day, there are probably some things in me that have not yet been taken out of my heart and the like that I am not aware of. But much of it was destroyed the day the Lord came and literally touched me, and I yielded to Him to some degree. Now, we like to talk about saying the sinner's prayer and that we are saved. But if there is no quickening of the Spirit in that saying that sinner's prayer, that person still is dead in their trespasses and sins. Paul says, you who were dead has he quickened, has he made alive by the Spirit of God. So, as I was growing up, I was told it's a sin to eat meat on Friday. And I believed that with all of my heart. So that I never, ever ate meat on Friday. Now, I remember a Friday night that I went to Al's Colonial Grill and ate 43 shrimp. But I didn't eat any meat that day. And incidentally, that law has since been repealed. So God must have changed his mind. At one time it was a sin, but now it is no longer a sin. No, forever his word is settled in the heavens. Now, I did not know Scripture. Because if I was aware of certain scriptures, perhaps at the very least, I would be shaken in regard to that belief. And I'm not going to quote all of the scriptures in relationship to that, but Paul says, or the writer in Hebrews says, it is good that the heart is established by grace and not by meats. And of course, Jesus says, it is not what goes into a man that defiles him, but that which is already there. You know, out of the heart proceeds murders, fornications, and the like. And so what we had was a Pharisaical religion, and we'll see why this is. If a group of believers starts out in the Lord and in the Spirit, and they have revelation, it will be but a short period of time ordinarily until there is a falling away, and instead of going towards the Lord with a whole heart, men will hide their lack of hunger for the Lord, their lack of seeking the Lord, behind the commandments of men. Or, as you give yourself to the Lord, He becomes more and more demanding upon you, and instead of meeting these demands, you withdraw, and instead of doing the commandments of God, you set those aside in order to keep your own traditions. I can easily understand that because of what the Lord is after. You know, people come and say, should we tithe? As if our giving 10% is going to satisfy what God is after in our life. God is not after 10% of us. He's not after all of our money. He's after every bit of us down to our last drop of blood, if we are willing to yield to that. But as you begin to follow the Lord and you walk after Him, and I can remember as a young Christian saying, I have decided to follow Jesus. You don't decide to follow Jesus. It's not in you to direct your steps to follow Him. He must put it in you. Make a decision for Christ. Well, you can make a decision for Christ, but unless the Spirit of God quickens you, gives you revelation, and empowers you, you cannot follow Him. Amen. Jesus said to Peter, where I am going, you cannot. It's impossible for you to follow me now.
Yes.
And I have felt that. There have been places that I have been. And in my heart, I may not have said anything outside that. I said, whoa, I'm not going there. And the power of that thing to push me back, to make me depart in my heart from the living God, is extremely powerful. It's much easier to go into church and sing songs and listen to a nice sermon and clap our hands and praise the Lord and walk out and say, there I please God in my heart. Well, maybe to a degree we have, but we are far from what He is after in your life and in my life. We'll leave that alone for right now. And so it comes down to what Paul says in Colossians, where he says, there is that which puts on a show of humility. Touch not, taste not, handle not. He says, all of these things are to perish with their using. He says, the only thing that does is it satisfies the flesh, where a man says in his heart, there, I have satisfied what God wants from me, but of course he has not. Because all of our righteousness must come out of God and be put into us, and then it goes back to God. All of our righteousness begins with the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And all of our righteousness is a result of our obedience to the word that God speaks. Paul says in Romans, as you have yielded your members as instruments unto sin, and sin unto death, now yield your members unto obedience, and obedience unto righteousness. So first there must be an obedience if we are going to go into righteousness. And herein is the righteousness of God revealed in you and in me, from faith to faith, from word of God to word of God, from patience to patience. Faith and patience, you cannot separate them, can you?